You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good afternoon and welcome to the 3 p.m. service. And today we're going to kick off a brand new series which coincidentally is called Renew. This is going to be a three-part series. So it'll be our series for the next 3 weeks. Now it's called Renew because for the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about the transforming power of the gospel. When you think about renew, I have an image of something being renewed. You think about something that's previously old, previously worn down, previously in unused or di na magamit, and then suddenly it becomes parang new again. You made it usable, parang you repurpose it or something. The same way, when you talk about the gospel has the power to renew us, to make us new, to make us feel whole. And even though there are times that we feel broken, we feel tired and all that, the gospel has the answer to do that. We've had a couple of series before that talks about the gospel. We've had the Great Exchange series that talks about the good news itself, that talks about what is the gospel, what did Jesus do for us. We also had the Gospel Demonstrate series. In that series, we talked about the importance that yes, we need to preach the gospel, yes, we need to understand the gospel, but we also need to live out the gospel. That the gospel has to be seen in our lives. And in this series, we talked about the transforming power of the gospel, that yes, the gospel answers our past. Our past no longer has any hold of us. Yes, it assures us of our future. That when we physically die, yes, we die physically, but we are assured to be with God forever. But not just that, it also deals with the present. The gospel is an answer to the things that we encounter here and now in the present. Now, when you think about our challenges and the things that we encounter in life, yes, natin mga problema. Whether that be emotional or whatever, things that may attack our well-being and all that, the gospel has an answer for that. Or the gospel is the answer for that. If you think about emotional problems, you know, when someone feels rejected, when someone feels hurt, when someone feels ashamed and all that, if you compare this to like a virus or something, the gospel naman is like the vaccine to that. It's like something that cures that. And this series for us to get to know how the gospel does that, how the gospel renews us. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a look at certain characters in the Bible. We're going to have a character study every installment of this series. Basically, characters who had an encounter with Jesus. The gospel naman talks about Jesus. We're going to look at who these people were, what they were before they met Jesus, what happened when they met Jesus, and how Jesus transformed their lives. And as we do so, we will also get to learn and understand how the gospel renews us. And I bet all of us, one way or another, can relate to these people who had an encounter with Jesus. For this first installment, we're going to talk about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. You guys know the story of the Samaritan woman, a woman who had an encounter with Jesus. So this is a pretty lengthy verse, so I'm not going to read all of it. But we're going to read bits and parts of the story. I'm going to share a condensed version of the story as well later. So let me just read you from John chapter 4, verse 3 to 9, to give us an idea of what the story is about. It says here, he, Jesus, left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For us to understand what's happening here, let's look at the context. Culturally, historically, what's happening here? When we read through that story, if we don't know the culture, sa ilang panahon, we don't really get what's happening. Let me give us a quick context and background of what's happening here. Culturally speaking, in terms of race and all that, the Jewish people, which Jesus is a part of, ang people nila, they don't like associating themselves with a group of people called the Samaritans. Perhaps you have heard the story of the Good Samaritan. Anyone hear about that? But it's a famous parable taught by Jesus and all that. That's another story. But the point is, Jewish people, Israelites, they don't like Samaritan people. Because historically speaking, ang kingdom sa Israel, it was split into two, the north and the south. And then throughout the years, ang north gi-conquer siya of other countries. And it was repopulated by different people. Then nagka-mix-mix ang mga people dito. So the people in the south considered themselves the pure nga Jews, pure Israelites. They didn't like the people in the north. Kaya para sa ilang mga mixed breed na to. Dili na pure Jews. They would tell them impure sila and all that. So the Jewish people, they rejected the Samaritans. They didn't like the Samaritans. There is discrimination, kumbaga, with the Jewish people towards the Samaritans and vice versa as well, because gina hate sila and all that. So when Jesus walked up and talked to this woman, that's why the woman was so shocked. Parang, ano ka makistorya na ako? I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jewish person. That's why there's this shocking moment right here. Now for us to dive down into the story, we need to understand as well what's the deep issue that's happening in the life of this woman. I said a while ago that we're going to look at a character study, look at the lives of these people, and see unsay naitabo sa life nila before, during, and after they met Jesus. And for this woman, if you go back to the verses, it says here that she came to draw water at the sixth hour. When it says sixth hour, it basically means at noontime. Umo you hear but agree na ibang inita sa noontime. Di mo inita nung noontime? Or ano lang, umo you hear you will not answer any question I asked. Okay, or anything I will throw at you, you will just stare at me blankly. Kidding aside, in their culture, in their time, for them to get water, for us, okay naman karon na natay gripo, you can get any water, anytime. In their culture, in their time, if you want to get water, you had to go to the well. Every village had like a well or a pond or a lake or something. And dito lang makuha tubig. So every morning, the people, usually the women, would go out and get water. And it was a communal thing. Makita sa friends nila, neighbors nila, uy, bro, oh, bro, dahil mga bayad sila. Hey, friend, oh, hey, bes, kumusta na? Pila ka mo galong tubig ko ako ni mo sa well. I don't know what things they talk. Kumusta ang camel ni mo? Okay na, buhi pa to. They would meet in the well, get water together, and go back home early in the morning while it's not so hot, but it nasa water throughout the day. But this woman, this Samaritan woman, took water in the middle of the day, noontime, when it's the hottest, where no one usually would go there to get water. You know what this tells us? This woman was trying to do something so that in a time, in a place where she wouldn't have to meet other people. In other words, we're like kung introvert pa lang. In other words, as we will go to dive in deeper in the life of this woman, we come to understand that this woman was living a life of rejection. Now, why rejection? Why can we say that this woman was rejected? Anyone here na reject na mo before sa life ninyo? Mga laki na nga reject na before? All of us at one point or another, we've been rejected. Whether it was your job application, whether na friend zone ka, or you auditioned for something, you didn't pass, we all got rejected. Talking about rejection daw, no? There's this story of a guy, nag-ask ang usa ka friend niya, nga girl, nga crush niya, nga, hey, how do you tell someone politely, nga, di ka ganahan niya, without being rude? So the guy, try to get points on the wall, hey, you just tell the person nga, you know, I like you as a friend, I've seen you as a friend, but as a friend lang. So the girl responds, oy, okay, thank you, Kayo. You know what? I also see you as a friend. Thank you so much for being a friend. So parang, ouch. Siya itong pasabot sa girl di ay. But anyway, talking about rejection, all that, we made some rejections okay lang, light lang. Some rejections left alone, unchecked, it can develop to something worse. Yes, we all experience that, not every time, but we all experience that in life. But if rejection left on its own, and when it festers up, and if it gets worse, it can develop to something else. And this woman was living a life of rejection, a result of that rejection. And we're going to look at the layers of rejection this woman had. Firstly, the social kind of rejection. Why was he rejected socially? Verse 6, again, Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, worried as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. Again, this woman took water at a time where she didn't have to meet other people. If you had a person like that, that means this person was trying to avoid other people. Probably because no one wanted to be around her. Or worse, if she was around these people, binuangan siya, rejected siya. We've all felt like at one point in our lives, na opita. Diba? This person probably felt that. She would probably be ridiculed, be insulted, all that. So she would go to a time where she didn't have to meet the people who would reject her. And why so? We're going to dive in more later. Next one is the racial discrimination. I mentioned this earlier. I have a map here to more explain it further. Again, the blue part is the North Kingdom of Israel. The south part is the Kingdom of Judah. At one point in their time, mas split kasi ang country nila. And again, the one in the blue part, it was conquered. And you know, people from different places came there, nag-mixed breeds sila and all that, nag-mix ang bloodlines. And so the people in the south, they didn't like the people in the north. They viewed them as impure, unclean, and all that. There was discrimination. This woman, her whole group of people is rejected by another group of people. So there's that second layer naman, okay? If she would meet other Jewish people, she would be rejected. So there's that kind of rejection. But not just that, there was also a religious rejection. Because the Jewish people didn't like the Samaritans. Even though the Samaritans would follow the Old Testament, the first five books of the Old Testament, they would follow some instructions, like yatag ni God sa Jewish people, they would follow some of them. The Jewish people would consider them impure, unclean. Okay, for them, ang mga Samaritans, dili pwede muadto sa temple with them. For the Jewish people, the Samaritans had no place in heaven. Kumbaga, dili na, mga rejected ni sila nga people. If you were to compare today, just like thinking of a group of people, you feel like, ah, kani siya, adi ni siya pwede sa church. Masangit ni siya sa church. Kung musulod siya sa portahan. Okay. Akin siya nga person, dili ni siya maka-Kristiyano. Dili siya maka-know ni Jesus. Dili siya pwede maka-receive sa gospel, all that. That's like judging someone solely because you feel like this person cannot know God. Or this person is too far off from God. For the Jewish people, they had that religious discrimination to the Samaritan people. They excluded these people entirely. These people had no business with God. Perhaps for some of us, we've thought about certain things sa people in our lives like that. Nga kaninga friend na ako, ah, wala rin siya, hopeless ni siya. Ah, mag-victory group ko, mag-do one to one. I'm gonna preach the gospel to someone, except to my friend, except to my coworker, because you know, he or she does this and that. Right? The Jewish people were like that to the Samaritans. Nextly, gender discrimination. In their time, their culture, sadly, sometimes, the women were looked down upon. There's this practice na men cannot talk to women unless relative and all that. So that is why the woman was so shocked that this man talked to her. They were not related at all. And to add later to that, Jewish person pa, si Jesus. He was of Israelite descent. She was Samaritan. So that's why she was so shocked that this person was willing to talk to her. Parang, it's unheard of. Men wouldn't talk to women publicly lang unless relatives mo. And then lastly, there was this moral rejection. Why moral rejection? Verse 16 to 18 of John chapter 4 says there, Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. This seemingly innocent question. But the woman responds, the woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands and the one you know have is not your husband. What you have said is true. Why was she morally rejected? Because in their culture and time, you can be divorced like 3 times max. But this woman has had 5 husbands. And now she's living with a man who's not even her husband. In their time and culture, that's scandalous. Kaya nga siguro, she's being rejected by her own community. Imagine this with me. This woman has layers upon layers of rejection. Firstly, again, she's a Samaritan woman. Rejected na siya by Jewish people. Jewish people ni, we don't want your kind, Samaritan mo. Not only that, she's rejected by her own community because she's had several husbands. She's morally rejected and she's socially rejected from her own community. So there was this layers upon layers of rejection in the life of this woman. Can you imagine the loneliness, the brokenness that this person was experiencing? I was preparing for this. I was reminded of this line from one movie. Perhaps you've seen this movie. You guys remember this movie? Shrek said, "Na ogres are like onions. Onions have layers and ogres have layers." Well, this woman, this Samaritan, had layers. She was not an ogre, of course, but she was like an onion. She had layers upon layers of rejection in her life. And that led to her brokenness. Led her to a life of rejection. She was rejected by her community, by other groups of people, by fellow women, by men in her life because she had 5 husbands who left her, who divorced from her. Imagine the rejection that this person is going through. This person is going through tremendous amounts of rejection. That's the problem right here. That's the situation this person is living. Before she met and had an encounter with Jesus, she was living a life of rejection. And perhaps some of us here today, or perhaps you know of someone who has had that scar of feeling rejected, of feeling unwanted, feeling unloved, whether because that person did not encounter that or receive that love from home, from the parents, or maybe that person has been rejected in school, in the workplace, or something, or maybe that's you yourself. You're growing up with this wound of not feeling loved, not feeling appreciated, feeling rejected or cast out or something. I want us to understand, church, that here we have this example of this one who's living that. But the good thing was, she was about to have a turning point in her life. When she simply went out to try to get water, I've been an ordinary day, I'm just going to get water, boom, something unusual happened in her life. Going back to the main verses now, though, John chapter 4, verse 3 to 9, Jesus left Judea and departed again for Galilee. Verse 4, and he had to pass through Samaria. Now, this is pretty insane because for Jewish people, they didn't want to associate themselves with Samaritans. The mere, you know, being close to Samaritans, they would think na makontaminate na sila. Example, let's say si Kevin is a Samaritan, I'm a Jewish person. They have this belief na magkuyog ta, Samaritan ka, ako Jewish person, mahawaan ko ka Samaritan ni mo. Ka-impure ni mo, kung magkuyog ta, share tagkaon, what, ma-impure na ko. So they didn't want to do anything to do with the Samaritan people. They would want to be away. Parang pawit na ako, Samaritan ka, iyo ka. They didn't want that. So if they had to travel to a certain place, they would avoid this area of Samaria. Even if it was a longer route. But Jesus says here, he had to pass through Samaria. Verse 5, so he came to this town. Skip to verse 7. Here comes the woman about to get her water. And in verse 9, we had that first meeting. Verse 9, said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Now you see how shocking, how heavy this statement is. It's not just simple nga, uy, ano ka, mutana na ako asang water? Or ano ka, mangaya na ako water? I used to think it was just simple as that. There's cultural, racial layers here. For the woman, parang, ha, istorya siya na ako. I'm Samaritan, a woman. I'm a reject. Ano ko gitagad niya? You know what this verse tells us? Firstly, Jesus seeks out the rejected. When we talk about people who feel rejected, feel unwanted, feel unloved, I want us to understand, church, that Jesus deliberately seeks out the rejected. He deliberately went to Samaria, went through the land of Samaria. He could have gone another route, but he did so. Nakaplanado ni. He seeks out the rejected. In fact, John 3, verse 16, remember this old famous verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At one point in all our lives, because of our sins, we were all eternally separated from God's goodness. We were all rejected. We were all like the Samaritan woman. But Jesus seeks out the rejected, came to this world, died on the cross for our sins, and because of that, though we were lost once, now we have been found. Now we are in Christ. We have this relationship with God. We are no longer rejected because Jesus seeks out those who were rejected. Those seemingly far off. Those people you feel like, wala na ni, hopeless. Dili ni maka-knows la ni God. Dili sila ma-Diyos noon ever. Balag sa itsura, wala. Jesus seeks out those people. No one is too far off from the hand of God. But if you think about it, what about us at one point in life? Were we not feeling not far off than God? And yet Jesus seeks out those who are far or those who are rejected. For God so loved the world, he gave his one only son. For this woman, she experienced firsthand Jesus seeking. Second thing I want to share, Jesus satisfies the rejected. Jesus deliberately went to Samaria, met this woman, and as he did so, he pierced through the layers of rejection. I rejected ka sa Jews, I'm gonna talk to you. You see here what's happening? Jesus is doing something that's countercultural. Kaya, and when the disciples came to him, his disciples were like shocked. Uy, gatstoyan na sila. Na-shock sila. You're rejected by fellow Jews, I'm gonna talk to you. You're rejected by your community, I'm talking to you. I'm gonna ask you a drink. Gender rejection, I'm still gonna talk to you. I'll ask you a drink, all that. Jesus broke through several barriers of rejection. But not just that, Jesus also satisfies the rejected. Yes, he reached out to the rejected, to the Samaritan woman. I've reached out to you. I've talked to you. But not just that, he did something. And this is what the gospel does to us. Verse 10, it says here, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was that is saying to you, give me a drink, meaning to the woman, kung kabalo pa lang ka, unsang gift ni God, o kung kabalo pa lang ka, kinsa ang gusulti ni mo karon, kinsa ang katabi ni mo karon, giving a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Verse 13, Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. He's using an illustration. Everyone who goes to this water, this well, you will be thirsty again. Nothing in this world will ever be able to satisfy you, to make you feel whole of that emptiness you have in your heart. But in verse 14, it says here, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. Will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus is pretty much offering salvation to this woman. Yes, this physical, this water will not satisfy you or anyone permanently, but I'm going to give you living water. I'm going to give you the kind of water that's going to satisfy you. The deepest cravings and longings of your soul, I have something to answer to that. I have a solution to that that would well up to eternal life. And the woman in verse 15 said to him, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have come here to draw water. It's like, hatag ikaw ng water para di na ko uhawon. I will never be thirsty. And that's why Jesus was trying to illustrate. He would explain even later in these verses. It talks about Jesus satisfying the needs of the rejected. For this woman, what do you think is her deepest need? Her deepest kinakailangan niya sa life niya? Socially speaking, of course, dili salvation lang, but what does he want? Acceptance. Belongingness. To feel loved, to feel valued. Rejected siya, and feel niya, mga tao, walay pakiniya. And Jesus answers her that, I have something for that. A life-giving water. What does the gospel do for us? It answers our deepest longings. It makes us whole. It completes us. John 1 verse 12 says here, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. To all those who were rejected, to all of us here, at one point or another, we felt like we are unloved, unwanted, disregarded. Nobody cares for us, alone in this world. Guess what? Because of what Jesus did for us, through the gospel, says here, to all who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Kung before alienated ta kang God, now we are his children. Not just his citizens of his kingdom, not just his people who would serve him, but he says here, we are his children. We get to hear that every now and then in our Christian circles, in church and all that. Sometimes we feel like, parang, okay, komunani, it's cliche to hear. But honestly, church, that's a pretty weighty statement right there. To be called a child of God. For the Jewish people, the chosen people of God, dili nila makomprehend nga father si God. God was almighty, all-powerful, but to call God father, parang ha, I have no right to call God father. As I am impure, I am no, a sinner, a person, all that. But now, it says here, we have been given this right to be children of God, to be part of his family, to be adopted into his family. It's not because we did anything, but it's simply because out of the love of God. And this is good news to all of us who felt rejected and unwanted, that in Christ, we are not rejected. In Christ, we have a family. We are part of God's family. We are loved. We have a God who loves us, who sees our darkest, deepest parts of who we are, and yet chooses to accept us. It doesn't mean he just lets go, and it doesn't mean he turns a blind eye on our mistakes or our sins, but it means even if we fail him, he still accepts us. He gives the right to become children of God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 even says, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In some versions, you've been completed in him, in Christ. You are complete. The gospel satisfies what the world cannot offer us, what the world will never be able to satisfy and offer us. Abantay mo every time we feel sad, you feel down, you do something to cope. We all have our coping mechanisms, di ba? How many of you here, stress eating is your thing? Di ba? Ice cream ka, uska galon, utdoni mo, di ba? Or pizza, burger, whatever. Stress eating. Anyone here, honestly, di ba? Stress eating. Or uska kilong lechon, utdoni mo. Grabe. Di ba? Or for some of you, binge watch. You go to the movie. You finish an entire season of a series. But for some of you, you sleep. Diba? Nang naka-cover ka sa pillow. Or some of you, muhila ka shower. Diba? Or in the rain, para na effect, para, you know, parang movie lang. Or some of you, you go to video ke bar, kanta mo, balag, dili matono, basta mo 100 ang score og sinagit. We all have different ways and methods of coping. That's because we're looking for something to fill what is hurting in us. What is that hole in us? We're trying to do all these things. And yes, for a time, okay, I'm happy ka, I'm enjoying mo. But after that, the pain is still there. You have to face back the reality of the problem or the hurt, whatever is in your heart. Only the gospel can plug that hole in your life. Only what can produce something eternal can plug up the eternal void in your heart. And that is the gospel. Jesus satisfies the rejected. That is why we need Christ. That is why the gospel transforms, renews us. It reaches out those who need to be renewed, and it satisfies what needs to be renewed. But not just that. Next thing, Jesus sends the rejected. John chapter 4, verse 20 to 30. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" So this woman, imagine it, from the seemingly rejected, unwanted woman in her own place, went to get water one day, met this strange man named Jesus, talked to her, broke every barrier of loneliness and rejection she ever faced, offered her salvation. And after that encounter with Jesus, she immediately drops her watering jar, drops what she's doing at the moment, what she came there to do in the first place, and went to her town. She went back to her place, and this is the place that rejected her. The place of people that she didn't want to associate with, that she went in the heat of the sun in 12 noon, para di niya ma-meet, and yet she went back and to tell all these people. Can you imagine that? He doesn't say at first nga, these people would immediately listen to her. Can you imagine what would happen if she went back to her town? "Hey guys, I met this guy." Uy, di ba kato ng bahay nga lima kabukbana na? And yet, this woman was willing to go, risk rejection, risk the feeling of rejection once again to tell to these people, "See, come see this man who told me all that I ever did. Can he be the Christ?" And in verse 30, they went out of the town and were coming to him. Amazingly, those people in Samaria who rejected this woman, who probably made fun of this woman on a daily basis, heard her testimony, heard her share about there's Jesus in the well. And they all went there to see, to check. Interestingly enough, it could have been so easy for these people to reject her and say, "Ah, pagilom di ha. Ay, bawal dito. Uy, si Kwan." That could have happened, but they went there. Verse 39, many Samaritans from that town believed in him, in Jesus, because of that woman's testimony. "He told me all that I ever did." In fact, Jesus stayed in Samaria for a few days because they wanted to learn more of Jesus. And eventually, they even said, "We've seen firsthand. It's no longer simply because you told us about Jesus, but now we've seen and heard firsthand, and we are sure that he is the Savior." And one of us wants to understand, church, that Jesus can take what is seemingly broken, the seemingly rejected, and still instill a purpose in them. And he can still send out the seemingly rejected people to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 to 31. I want to leave with these verses. It says here, "God shows what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." The whole point of that passage and the few verses before that is that God can use the seemingly foolish, the seemingly weak, the seemingly despised things of the world, the seemingly rejected things of the world, and use them for His glory. that these seemingly rejected people can still go out there, can still be sent out there. Preach the good news. Preach the gospel. What we've seen here, church, is the story of this woman who was renewed from a woman whose life of rejection crippled her to that encounter with Jesus that renewed her. And now transformed to this woman of boldness, woman who's able to face her neighbors, was able to proclaim the Savior, who shared about it. How was it all possible? Through Jesus. That encounter with Jesus. The good news that comes from Jesus. The gospel, the transforming power of the gospel. I want to understand, church, that whatever emotional hurt, pain, you're going through right now, or a friend, or a loved one, or someone you know, I want us to understand that the gospel is the answer to that. That the gospel is not just some theological idea, just for scholars, for theological purposes lang. It's not something for our past lang. Okay, I'm done with my past, but what about what I'm encountering now? It's not just something for the future. Okay, assured na ako, malangin ko in the future, but what about now? What about the now? What about what you're encountering now, those bombardment of emotions, of negative emotions that you're feeling? The gospel has an answer for that. The gospel affects your past, your present, and of course, even your future. That's the beauty of the gospel. It affects who we are. It renews who we are. And I want to end with this thought. I didn't get to put it there in a point, but you know, people may leave you. People may reject you. But God never will. It is in Christ that we find true and total acceptance of who we are. It doesn't mean we just remain who we are forever, but even in our worst, God accepts who we are. And it is through that kind of acceptance and love that we are renewed, made new, and we become a new person.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.